UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
Hello. Today we're talking about deficiency anemia, the causes, evaluation, and management of iron deficiency. And my guest is Dr. Rita Pascal. She's a hematologist and an assistant professor at UAB Medicine. Dr. Pascal, what's the prevalence of iron deficiency anemia in the U.S.?
Iron deficiency anemia is quite prevalent both worldwide and in the United States. It affects mostly women of childbearing age, but about a quarter of the patients in the United States are affected from iron deficiency anemia.
Well, you just answered my next question about groups that are at an increased risk. So tell us a little bit about dietary factors that could affect the etiology. Are we an iron deficient nation at large or globally? Tell us kind of where our diet fits into this picture.
The United States is actually a very iron-rich nation. We see mostly dietary issues in patients who restrict their diet, such as vegetarians and vegans.
That's so interesting. And so what about children? Because a lot of children seem to have some of these symptoms, and maybe their pediatrician checks for it, maybe they don't. Tell us about symptoms that might show up in someone that has iron deficiency anemia. Would we notice it in ourselves or in our children? For other providers, what should they be looking for?
So the most common symptom that we see in patients is fatigue, severe fatigue that's not resolved by adequate sleep or rest. In menstruating females, we see that fatigue even before they become anemic. In small children, you may also see increase in craving for ice, clay, things like that. We call that pica.
So is there a diagnostic criteria, differential diagnosis for iron deficiency anemia?
Yes. So when we're looking at patients who have the symptoms of iron deficiency anemia, we always want to check a complete blood count. You may or may not see that the patient has overt anemia. The first sign that you'll see is the size of the red blood cells becoming smaller. And that size of red blood cells is notated by the MCV, mean corpuscular volume of the red cell. When you see someone with a low MCV, you should automatically check iron studies.
And then what are the standard treatment options that you would use?
Initially, we always start with oral iron that's given as one tablet every other day. Traditionally, we were given that medication up to three times per day, but recent evidence shows that absorption is better when it's given every other day. In patients who don't absorb oral iron, then we will do intravenous iron infusion.
When would that happen?
Typically, we treat patients for 3 to 6 months. If there's no improvement in the iron stores, then we would proceed to iron infusions. And people who don't respond to oral iron, that's typically because they're either not taking it and being compliant, or they're not absorbing the iron.
So with all of these different populations that could have anemia, what about postmenopausal women or women in menopause that may have severe bleeding? And so is it different based on the population that you're treating, or is it pretty much a standard of care across all the lines?
We treat iron deficiency the same across populations. The thing that is different from population to population is diagnosing the etiology of the iron deficiency. So in menstruating women, it's pretty clear that their iron loss is related to menstrual loss. In postmenopausal women and in men, we get more concerned that there is blood loss from the GI tract, and that would necessitate an evaluation via colonoscopy or upper endoscopy.
Dr. Pascal, when do you feel the transfer for specialized treatment necessary for patients with this type of anemia to a specialized care such as yourself?
If the patient does not respond to oral iron and there's no obvious bleeding, then the patient should be referred to hematology.
And what does that look like?
The referral should take place usually within 3 to 6 months of diagnosis of the anemia. Once the patient is referred to hematology, we will do special studies to evaluate for issues of absorption, other issues of blood loss, and then we'll treat as appropriate.
Is there ever a role for surgical intervention?
Yes, in bleeding lesions that are not adequately taken care of by endoscopy, sometimes the surgeons become involved to actually do resections of the bowel.
So what would you like providers to know about noticing red flags, about treatments, and then the side effects? Because even, you know, certain iron supplements can cause some quite uncomfortable side effects. And then as the provider dealing with the side effects as well, what would you like them to know?
I would like primary providers to know that oral iron repletion is always the initial step in treating iron deficiency. Very rarely does a patient need IV iron infusions at the initial diagnosis of iron deficiency unless the deficiency is very severe. Patients who will take oral iron can have significant GI side effects, including nausea and constipation, and that constipation can be treated with stool softeners. However, in people who don't have resolution of their side effects, referral to hematology is appropriate.
Where do you see this going in the future? I mean, iron is such a big part of keeping the body running. And are there research studies, anything you'd like to tell other providers that you're doing there at UAB?
We don't have any specific studies right now open at UAB, but I think the most important thing for providers to know is that education is key. Education about appropriate diets in patients who may have inadequate diets, and then education as to the signs and symptoms that one may experience with iron deficiency anemia.
It's so important. It's great information, and thank you so much, Dr. Pascal, for joining us today. A community physician can refer a patient to UAB Medicine by calling the MIST line, 1-800-UAB-MIST. That's 1-800-822-6478. You're listening to UAB Medcast. For more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can go to uabmedicine.org/physician. That's uabmedicine.org/physician. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for tuning in.